Okay, we're going to start the tourism board meeting. It is 7:10. We do not have a quorum, so we're just going to have a discussion tonight. Currently present is Selha.
Sila.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sila. I don't know why I say it that way. Sila, C.C. Graham, Hannah Black, and Chris McManus. So, do you guys have the agenda up?
I got it.
The first
is that guy.
Yes. So we're gonna have an update from the Warren
seasonal
street use.
Yeah.
Warren street
What's that? Yes. Warren Street Seasonal Usage Program.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up, Gary?
What's up?
Well, good evening,
What's
everyone.
Up? Is it? Yeah. That's cool.
So I think the from my point of view, the program is going well. I know from the participants' point of view, it is going very well. There are 37 participants currently. There are still blocks on the street that I want to take off. Either they're not being used or they're not being used. And the big issue for me last few weeks, and I reported on this already, is that it's something that, you know, how do you anticipate for this? But Fluff right across the street moved out 2 weeks ago, and in front of them, all of those storefronts are blocked with concrete blocks. DPW can't be, you know, scheduled to move them on a certain hour on a certain day and return them. So we had to, the stores went out and found an independent contractor who did a great job. It wasn't cheap. But at least the restaurants were able to not lose any shifts in serving. And that's important to know, that they both, and this is Bob and Louise, I know, both went out of their way to share with me how it's not a casual thing not to have that seating outside. And if you think about it, too, there's just been a lot of rain, right? You know, so when we do have good weather, you guys see it. The restaurants are packed outside. It's a lovely experience. And with the resurgence of the virus, you know what? I'm glad that they're there. You know, some people were thinking, it's over. We don't need them anymore. Well, that's just not the case at all from the virus standpoint. And then there'll be a whole other discussion down the road as to, is this something you want to continue doing? And next week, we have another business moving into that space, and so we'll have to go through the routine once again, moving them out, moving them back in, and it looks as if they'll have to go out to a private contractor again.
Wait, so what happened exactly was that they wanted to expand into Fluff's
space? No, Fluff's moved out. They left town.
Yeah.
So it's empty. So the movers needed space on the street. They couldn't move out through the alley. And so we had to move the blocks out of the way at 6 a.m. on a Friday, which wasn't a problem, and then returned them at 3 p.m. on Friday afternoon so that they could be in business in a half hour after that.
Wow.
And it worked. The guys showed up, and so, you know, it was a smooth process, and I expect it to be the same again.
Oh, wow.
So, we got that going on. Reflective cones, I put in an order for another 10 through Rob Perry. They disappear. And, you know, I'm walking up and down the street all the time moving cones, because if you don't have a cone on that concrete block that's facing oncoming traffic, it's going to get hit sooner or later. At nighttime, concrete is not reflective. Reflective cones work very nicely, so we need to put more out there. And I keep telling the participants that they got to make sure that meeting done too. As I've mentioned already in the past, I'm just blown away by the plants out there. They continue to just blossom, and flowers are coming up, and it's to me, it's art in progress. You know, I mean, it really is gorgeous. I was looking at this set because it's the longest stretch right across the street of blocks and plants. It's pretty good from my point of view. I'm really happy about that. There are some issues in terms of expenses that Grace Garden feels that they should be owed, etc. I'm working on that, and I'll report more on that later. The other issue that traditionally we're always concerned about is noise complaints. And while we have received a couple of complaints for two establishments, restaurants, one, the police did not deem it to be legit complaint, and we're still trying to work through the issues so that people don't feel like they're being put out. American Glory was, you know, was traditionally known for violating noise. It seems like they've been, you know, a good neighbor this year. And I, when I go up and down the street, you know, I want to hear what's coming out of those places, and I think it's respectful. So I'm happy about that. There is an issue that we have one resident whose main problem, and I don't blame them, is that when the bottles are picked up at 2:30 in the morning, they're here, you know, but that's living in the city. And that's not a Warren Street seasonal usage program issue, but, you know, you don't want to say that's not control, you know, so you do what you can. That's about it. The other thing I'm working on moving forward now is the heavy lifting, you know, was with the blocks, etc. Believe it or not, I'm just finally getting all of the certificates of insurance in place. And going forward, if we were to do this again, I would recommend no blocks be installed until there's a certificate of insurance, you know, noted and access to the place. I don't want to say who, but I'm taking blocks away from one store firm because they're just, they haven't provided me anything for them. And I've given them enough warnings, and I know that they're getting the message. So that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a safety concern. It's insurance. It's a liability for the city.
I had to sort through the issues between Second Saturday and Park Theater and the Warren Street seasonal usage program. Just because you have a mass gathering doesn't mean, and the certificate of insurance, those are for Second Saturdays. That's not for Tuesday at 2 in the morning when someone hits the blocks. So, you know, it was an effort to get that message across. But otherwise, I'd say it's going really well. And again, I would congratulate you all for supporting this. It's been a real success. Of course, you know, the metrics need to come and justify that.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Because you're waiting on cones, I noticed that Uline and other systems like Uline businesses have reflective stickers that you can put on, or even spraying the thing with the reflective paint. I mean, I think anything at this point is better than nothing.
You know, I agree with you. I like the cones, but, you know, if they're going to go missing, we need something for the back of the secondary. I like the cones because it gives the highlight.
Sure.
And that puts it into visibility. So that was my first. But you're right. I had actually early on went out looking for them, trying to find them, but I know you can get them online. So, okay.
There's certain businesses that have those long, skinny, reflective.
Oh, yeah, the snow. There's a snow one. It's like a dollar.
Yeah.
The snow pole.
Yeah. And that's how they insert.
Or the driveway poles.
Go to Luckerman and take a look.
Yeah.
They have some there.
Yeah,
they also have the cones. And I will tell you, at night, you know, it's good to find in the snow. Not nearly as good as a home.
It's also for driveways.
I'm sorry?
It's also for driveways. It's a driveway marker.
Yeah. But in terms of warning, you know, it'll stop you, but take a look. You know, it's clear that home.
Sure.
Great.
Thank you.
Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So next up is the budget discussion, which is me. I've not figured out how to project, so I'm going to just hand out.
You have a projector on you? Is a screen to project?
I don't.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gary.
You can project.
We have a screen, but we don't have a projector.
That's fun.
We're working on it.
I mean, I can lend you mine. It's about $2 a day.
We only have one meeting today.
Correct.
Do you don't have your...
No, I don't.
Wow, you printed this off. This is nice.
I've got a few more,
huh?
So
This is your era. You should feel very comfortable.
I've got three more.
This is a serious meeting.
It's black and white. I just noted for the record that Mr. DiPietro, President DiPietro, should feel comfortable with the black and white.
I did the black and white because I realized how expensive it was to do.
Good on you.
Color.
Good on you.
And I was just like, whoa.
I think it gives a better definition, honestly.
So basically, this is kind of a starting point. What I wanted to do is I wanted everybody, we have to think now about 2022, which is kind of a little bit crazy because we're just a little past halfway into 2021.
No, but we got criticized for that last year, so good on you.
And not only that, but because our funding is running out this year, the funding that we had allotted, you know, we have to go to a different model. So I wanted to get in front of the Common Council early. So instead of us going and asking piecemeal, that we're asking up front.
Just want the BEA, the process, you know, the initial.
Yes.
Okay. Just want.
Yeah. So we're not making a decision. This is just kind of getting it out there for discussion.
What's the BEA?
Oh, the Board of Estimate and Apportionment. Okay. It's the three of them. The mayor. Are you laughing?
We're just finished. We were both finishing your sentence.
It was a team situation.
He's prickly when he has on his boat shoes. Don't worry about it.
The mayor, council president, and the treasurer. We've developed the budget.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that, and I've also noticed, like, from my own corporate experience, that if you go early, people are willing to talk. But if you go late, sometimes people are like, well, that's a great idea, but.
Had it been months ago.
It's the same with us and, like, all the projects.
Correct.
So if we go to slide two, I just wanted to kind of talk about how this board has been very different. We've had to pivot. You know, it was a very different style of tourism, attracting visitors to help Hudson recover but also survive. And in the process, we kind of reprioritized how tourism not only benefits the city's economy, but it really benefits everybody in the city, all communities. And I think that's a really positive thing. And everybody on the board was committed to that. We funded community-driven initiatives. I think that's pretty radical. I think people don't realize that instead of us saying, here's what we can do to help you, we went and said, we've got money, what do you need help with, and you decide. So that was very interesting. You know, 2021 is really a transition past the pandemic. You know, we know that COVID is still an issue, but, you know, we have processes in place. This isn't new territory for us. So even if we have to go into tighter restrictions, things are going to move forward. We know now that we'll live, that the businesses will survive. So this year was really continuing the community focus. Hudson 2.0 was really great, you know, something we can be proud of. We have applied lessons learned, and if you look at the way we've done things on Warren Street, that's been really very positive. So now it's time to look ahead and kind of assume that we're going to be in a post-pandemic or at least a new normal world, right? So if we go to the next slide, 2022. My thinking on this was recovery to long-term vision. We've been in reactive mode. You know, how do we help people go to the waterfront and enjoy it in a safe way? Now we can get more proactive and we can start to think about what we want tourism to do, how it affects the city, how it benefits everyone. And we can do that with the idea of business, cultural, and residential communities, with the marginalized communities very much in focus. We're not going to lose that. So if you look at the financial snapshot, you know, it was a little more than $400,000 that we've spent over 2 years. That's money that was allotted into a fund specifically for us, it was earmarked. That has changed, so the funding now goes into the Common Council. And as Tom had noted before the meeting, nothing's really changed other than how we access this meeting.
That is the correct. I mean, it goes to the general fund. It's not necessarily, I mean, Common Council.
I keep saying Common Council, I know. It goes to the general fund, you're absolutely right. You know, over the past 2 years, we funded over 30 projects, over 24 months.
think people lose sight of the fact of how many projects we really funded. Short-term lodging revenue now goes directly into that general fund, obviously. So to continue the momentum, and I think instead of focusing on tourism, if we manage tourism to benefit Hudson, we need to look at funding and what we're going to ask for. So you look at, we broke down kind of what has traditionally been funded in Hudson. Flag Day is a tradition. Juneteenth, I mean, we've done this 2 years in a row. I'm very much hoping that that's an annual tradition. Hudson Pride, the Bangladeshi Festival, I hope that comes back. Alina Mosley has done an incredible job with Sankofa even through the pandemic. Halloween Parade coming back this year, as we know, and Winter Walk. And I just thought it was worth noting that we had funded some cultural activities that are part of our fabric now, like the Hudson Eye, Waterfront Wednesday, Second Saturdays, which is fairly new, the Black Entrepreneurs Market, and hopefully the Pocket Park Market too. So it all sounds great until you start to plug this into a calendar. And what you start to realize is that June, July, and August are really heavy. September and October, not terrible. But January through May is crickets. And what we keep hearing from the businesses and from cultural institutions is like, not only like do something on Wednesday because everyone comes on the weekends, but they all come during a peak season. So how do we spread this out? So the thinking here was, you know, if we look at the non-peak seasons, we have a lot of ski resorts around. You know, does this become the après ski? You know, we're going to stay in Hudson because the restaurants are great and there's a lot to do, and then we'll ski during the day. I know people, having lived in the city for so long, you know, you're itching to get out of the city and up to see like something green, some flower popping out. So we could have like a springtime flower reawakening season. Mm-hmm. And obviously leaf peeping and apple harvest is huge here. So we can start to manage that. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really gets me is the tourism engine that really revs all year long is culture. And we are so rich in culture in Hudson. I mean, we're really blessed with what we have. You know, I've listed a couple of the big ones here: Hudson, the Hudson Hall, the Hudson Eye, Operation Unite, TSL, Basilica. But that's really just scratching the surface. There are many more. We actually have meetings. I have meetings with a lot of people who run these organizations during COVID, kind of just help understand what their needs were from a tourism board perspective. I'm almost wondering if we need to go back to that. But there is a great need in Hudson. And we talked a little bit about the calendaring, how difficult it is so that one organization doesn't have their big fundraiser on the same day as another. And what that tells me is that the cultural organizations really have a need to communicate and talk to each other more. And I think that the tourism board could actually be a conduit for that. So I'm throwing some ideas out there just basically, but I think that we can have a brainstorm. It can be between us or community. But like, there are things that we can do to start to build onto those non-peak seasons. You know, so bonfire sounds great for fall. Harvest Fest, lean into the whole apple harvest. In the winter time, you know, there are all kinds of winter activities and sports. I did want to give a nod to the Oakdale Plunge as a really great activity that people do in the wintertime and well attended, and it gets really crazy people to do belly flop sometimes.
But the Oakdale was actually for two, because if they had kept the ice skating going, you could have had ice skating. Well, when I was growing up here, it was ice skating.
Cold.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But an ice rink, I mean, when I lived in Greenport, Long Island, they had an ice rink.
Basilica created an ice rink one year.
Really special.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
And then there's like charity, chili cook-off. Doesn't have to be chili, but like there are activities that we could do. It's not that we can just have to do it in the summertime. We can do things every single month to help fill restaurants, fill hotels,
That's
fill
cute.
Shops,
mm-hmm.
And then if you look at like the, if we tap into the cultural institutions more, I mean, could we launch an indie fest? Could we bring burlesque here? Doesn't, you know, that would be such a huge draw. Dance performances, busker or music festival. Could we get somebody to do a musical theatrical debut right here? I know, that's the thing. We are so blessed with talent here. Mm-hmm. So like if we tap into that, you're absolutely right.
A couple of years ago there was a theatrical debut and it got incredible attention, but that theater's no longer there.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But we have the wit.
We have TSL.
No, there's still
a conduit.
It is.
Yeah, it's a viable. Yeah, so it could either be an ongoing theater, or it could even be where we could convince somebody to do a theatrical debut before they, you know, it's like
off
Broadway.
Yeah,
would be great. If we look at funding for 2022, if we look at like the bare minimum, what we really should fund. You know, Flag Day, I think they're looking for 2,500. Juneteenth was 5,000 this year. Hudson probably didn't ask for anything this year, but I'm assuming 5,000, thinking of putting it on par with Juneteenth. Bangladeshi Festival, also not sure what they would ask, so I just threw that number in. Sankofa is a pretty big festival. I have to say, 14 might seem like a big number, but she does a lot.
3 days.
She does a lot with that money. She stretches it. Halloween Parade was 2,500 and Winter Walk was 7,500. So that brings us to $41,500. And this would help us this would help us fund institutions that have been in Hudson for a long time. But what we really need to do is we need to shift and we need to manage tourism throughout the year to help the economy, spur the cultural institutions that feed us, and enrich life here for the residents. So how much do we invest to manage tourism? You know, again, planned events, 4,000, 41,500. So the question really comes down to how much is the city willing to spend to manage tourism? If we take a January to January approach, you know, how do we help them bring money into our economy? And I note that like the Hudson Eye alone brings in more than $1 million to Hudson's economy every year. People forget this. But like culture really pays back. Based on the lucrative short-term lodging tax that is already being put into the city's coffers, you know, can we afford $15,000 a month to fund tourism-driven programs and initiatives? And that sounds like a lot of money at first. But when you start to think about what we're trying to do and how we're trying to grow and manage and how we're trying to bring people here not just in June, but how do we get more people in January, it's not so much can we afford this, but can we not afford it?
Sorry,
no way.
Nia McKinney has just arrived. Are we recording now?
So I went into like the ROI of tourism, and you know, if we look at the original law, section 275, article 8, it was said that it was not to exceed $250,000. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can hold it up like this and ask
them
to hold it
down. So it's not to exceed $250,000. Clearly, this was a meaningful number. Why did they pick that number? So it must have been in their mind that that was the number that people would want to invest in tourism. It's our biggest industry. It'd be irresponsible not to manage how we promote, attract, handle visitors who contribute so heavily to our city income. So the whole idea is, again, making the case for an investment of $15,000 per month, year-round, so that we can really manage this. So again, given the tourism board's pivot toward programs that strive to benefit everyone in Hudson, we believe this request
in addition to the $41,500 for ongoing events, is the best way to support our local businesses, residents, and communities alike. Our efforts impact the bottom line, bringing in valuable tax revenue, both through the short-term lodging tax, but also an increase in overall business tax revenue. So it's not just that one. So we are going to humbly ask the city to provide us with the budget we need to help ensure tourism in Hudson evolves to a full-year program that benefits us all. And that's what we can discuss. And I think we're going to have a separate meeting to go through budget. Tom, do we need to approve the official ask?
This is interesting. I don't know how. So usually it's a department head that approaches the BEA with their requests. So this is something, this is new territory.
Okay.
I haven't figured this out, you know, how this works, because you're now a department. I got to find, ask the question.
I mean, we want to do it the right way.
You figure that out.
Yeah. We want to do it the right way.
Sure, of course.
You know, we want to go to the city, and
right.
That's why we're starting early.
So your ask, by the way, is $221,500. That's a lot. It's less than $250,000.
I mean, you know, yeah. considering the size of Hudson and where we want to go and the talent that we have.
Right, and if we look at, I mean, that figure, you know, has to be looked at in light of what the lodging tax is bringing in.
That's correct.
Under the old mandate, the top limit was 250, but I have a feeling we're going to continue to exceed. In other words, the tax revenue will be beyond what would have resulted in 250.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
It's interesting to note that when we were talking to the HBC, and we were trying to say earlier this year, like, what do we do to help? What we heard was that the retail shops, on average, did better in 2020 than 2019.
Very few of
hospitality really struggled at first, but as restrictions lifted and people were able to come and safely stay, they recovered very quickly. And now, a lot of the hospitality properties are trying to manage. There's too many people. You can't get a room in Hudson now.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, the restaurants for me, the restaurants were the priority because it took them the longest to come back to normal. And I don't know if you're back to normal.
We're busy. I am a little concerned about this back slide with things, but we're busy and I'm happy.
Because there's people want to. It's not only that people want to eat out again, but people like genuinely love Hudson and they want to support the businesses.
And people aren't,
so it's worth considering. That was all I had. Does anybody else have anything you want to add in? Tom?
Not to add in, but to pick up on something while he's saying. The idea of getting the tourism board should be a way for all these groups to meet. I mean, it wouldn't be obviously every tourism board meeting, but it should. I think what you could do is figure out when they decide to do their scheduling.
Yeah.
And try to figure out a date that would sort of suit all of them so that they could be in a room at once and do that. You know, there's a group called HOST. And what HOST does, it's all the county and city groups that have anything to do with youth. And they actually meet once a month.
Yes, they do.
And compare what they're doing, you know, make sure they don't overlap in terms of services, all that kind of thing.
And then there's also Spark, who's come onto the scene and been very much so an advocate and a person, a community-driven, non-for-profit type of support system that has really shown a key interest in things that affect cities like ours, like transportation. And so I think that having them also in the conversation would be healthy.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I think it's got to be as inclusive as possible.
Sure.
You know, and it's how do we help? I mean, if we went to the businesses and the cultural institutions in 2020 and said, we don't want to tell you what to do. You tell us, how can we help? That's kind of a good model. We can continue that even without COVID.
Exactly. All those groups that you had listed have their plans, you know, fairly obviously ahead of time because they have to plan. So putting them together and trying, you know, because especially in the summer, obviously, you get certain nights where there's
not
many things going on at once. You're not going to be able to avoid that, I guess. But certainly as things get, you know, we get into the lax months, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to have two things on a January weekend.
It'd be nice to see a combined calendar, and we can even do our job and promote it, and we make those things like pricing about the
right.
Hudson Mall Jazz Fest. In the winter time, which could be bigger than it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be, I think it's in February, maybe, or March.
It's in February, and it's funny you mentioned that because that kind of inspired a lot of my thinking too. Because talking to Tammy, and at one point she was going to put it in November, because she said, "How do we get people from October to Winter Walk?"
Right.
Yeah.
And that is exactly the type of thinking that we need to have.
Right.
Yeah.
She's too far out in February to pick up on any momentum, but in November she's right in between the momentum of Winter Walk and the one and the Halloween parade. So that would have made sense.
Right. But I think it's a better service to the community if we can like focus on, you know, making that a bigger thing. Like I went to it like 2 years ago and it was really like a nice thing to go see, you know, in February when there's nothing else going on.
Sure.
Oh, and the quality's picked up amazingly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people go away in February too, so it's a tricky month.
Yeah.
But we could also, the other thing is, we could start to brainstorm. With funding, we get to brainstorm things like, what do we want to do?
Right.
Like at one point, when Sydney Long was on, we were talking about, I think Calvin was talking about it too, we were talking about like doing an ice cream festival or something.
Yes.
Like just doing something different. So that we're not just doing the also-rans, but like, I mean, Hudson is not a boring place. So tourism should not be boring.
Right. And the fact that we don't have a souvenir shop, a way to get people to say, I got this in Hudson, I can only get this in Hudson, is another thing, you know.
And that could be part of it. And that could actually... Now, there's one other piece that I didn't put in here, but that is that I want to explore... Can we tap into some I Love New York money? Is there like some New York State money that the Tourism Board could tap into?
We'd have to look into it.
Probably is.
I think there's also one more thing missing. Anything that can make Hudson unique, like you and Christian mentioned, the word cocktail being something that was founded in Hudson. You know, like Saratoga does the chip thing because of the chip being that specific kind of chip. So if we could tap into things that are specific to Hudson, the fact that we're even Hudson on the Hudson, you know, having a weekend of Hudson on the Hudson or something, just kind of things to kind of...
How many times do you say to people, I live in Hudson. Oh, Hudson's great. Where?
On the Hudson.
And I'm like, I'm in Hudson. And
yeah.
They're like, no, but what city? Hudson. Because they think Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
If someone, you know, on board has the time to, you know, look into grant possibilities, the city could assist in that.
Oh.
But we're so busy trying to find grants for other things.
Of course.
There's grant writers for the city? Oh.
Yes.
I would raise my hand, but I want to wait first to see, because there's a lot. So, all right, anything else on... Oh, then the last thing is that Kate... was suggesting that we schedule a special meeting in August to go over budget requests. I think a lot of that might really depend on whether we need to officially approve and ask.
Are there any remaining? Outstanding, I should say?
There are a few projects that are still outstanding.
That's right, the one that we mentioned, yeah.
Since there's four of you here, I don't know if you want to... Well, the other three will just have to live with it. Do you want to come up with a date?
Yeah.
I'm out of town the 14th through 21.
14 through 21. Okay. Stick around that. Mia, how does your schedule?
I'm available all week for September.
Monday the 23rd is
the 23rd okay for you?
I think so. Right now, if it's clear on my calendar, I think so, yeah.
Mondays are okay because I'm thinking, like, anything that gets close to weekends is going to be hard for you.
Well, I'm doing, like, yeah, events and stuff, so the weekends are harder. But, yeah, I think I'm okay on the 23rd.
I think so also.
So there's been some concern with whether we do 6 o'clock or
well,
7
we thought o'clock. Specials were always at 5. They're always earlier than the regular.
That's true.
Do we have, is it open? Yep.
Do whatever
you
want.
Are you guys
good
with 5? 5.
That's a challenge for me. I just, because my husband has a irregular schedule, like he never comes on.
Understood.
Some days he's gone, and then I have to pick up Oscar.
What about 6?
I thought 6.
6 is better?
Yeah, I think I'll just figure it out. Because I have to put them down at some point, so I need to make sure that I have someone there to do it. But my sister's around. Let's try 6. 6 is better. If worst case, I'll just bring them.
Yeah. Okay. We want baby Oscar here. Plenty of running around for him to do.
Okay. I think this is a really baby-friendly crowd.
Yeah, I think so. So I don't want to climb back up there.
So I'll send the notice around.
That sounds great. So that's all I had on that.
And then apparently your meeting in September is, would be...
Oh, right, that's Labor Day.
Labor Day.
We have to change that.
I don't have our September schedule yet, so...
We maybe we can discuss it at the...
At the
23rd meeting?
Yeah, we should have more clarity.
I have a very just short update on the pocket parks that we're... getting ready to launch. It's a little under 2 weeks, so I'm going to tap on you for some help if you don't mind.
Yes.
I've got a couple of people who are confirmed. I'm doing outreach to get everybody. The concept would be that that one park would be more performance and another park would be more, would be a quieter experience for books. And we are going to accommodate, there's one person who wants to perform, and he is going to do it during his break, his dinner break, because he's a waiter at Oak, and we're gonna accommodate that. And
what
figure
type
it out.
Of performance is it?
He's gonna sing.
Yeah.
And what's the first launch of the Pocket Park? What date is that?
It is, I'm gonna say August 14, but yes, August 14.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing is just blocking down vendors.
Food vendors?
No. What I mean, people who are going to actually have
Oh,
food.
Sell.
Yeah.
So, you,
so I know we have one.
I think you could have two.
No, we have three. We have three, actually. Three. We have 8 who said yes, and we have 3 who have said, yeah, like, I'll be there.
Okay. Because Waterfront Wednesdays has one.
Yeah.
And so does the Wednesday Market.
We did Waterfront Wednesdays marketing at PR last year, and that was a really good momentum. So we need to create like an IG page and a Facebook page for, you know, and share on our community page. I think that would really help with the momentum as well.
And the city page, city website
idea.
Also.
Can you help us with that?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's a great idea. And you've been doing a really nice job with the Hudson. In fact, you probably recognize some of the images.
Yeah.
I stole them from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we can have the Tour of the War page.
IG.
And we can also put them on Hudson Valley Magazine.
And MB.
MB, yeah, I have all those contacts for
the knowns.
For everybody else. I'm just adding
to my rotation. There's always this little startup called the Register Star.
Oh. That was nice. That was smooth.
It feels like a startup because we have an awesome reporter there now. Mm-hmm. Oh, Julie. She's here. Okay. Is there anything else? We've gone through the agenda. Is there anything else we should discuss tonight? Anything on anybody's mind?
I went to Waterfront Wednesdays in the Villa. I love it. I'm telling everyone to go down.
I go every Wednesday. It's my place.
I wish I could go.
I bring my blankets, my children, tacos.
Having like a baby there, it's just, there's so many young parents.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like a meetup, a baby meetup. They can
I
just
call it a doctor for babies. Because they can just run free, and then the parents can kind of hang, and it feels very safe. And just
it is very safe. It's very nice. And you get to see the boats and they hear the train.
Yeah,
it's a lot of sensory, but it's light.
Yeah.
So have I. I'm appreciative.
Yeah, and then I heard from the Half Moon that it's one of their busiest nights of...
Yeah, everybody brings a pizza down.
Yeah, everyone brings a pizza.
Oh, that's interesting.
I bring tacos. I go to Chino's from Nolita's, and I bring elote, and I bring tacos.
Yeah.
From the Wednesday market. Thank God.
And Larry's is down there.
I want to do that next week, because that would be really good.
Wasn't it amazing? I love
that. The one thing I wish that farmer's market was combined with it.
They don't really have a lot of traction, and they did say that they wish that there was something way to... kind of boost it more.
Yeah. It just seems like it's a Wednesday, so I wish that they... I know that there was a bit of a...
In all fairness, Adam Weiner was pushing hard.
And I know, because I was on the restaurant, and they were reaching out to restaurants to do things. And then the farmer's market came in, I was like, never mind, we don't want to do that. Because I think they worked really hard to create that space, and so to move it, I think, didn't feel... right now, but it makes sense.
Vendors also, like, when they get their table and they get a spot, they get very used to that spot.
Yeah.
And so there's a resistance to move.
I go to both. I support both. I believe in supporting both.
Yeah.
I bought a bunch of stuff from the farms, and I bought some tacos, and I went down. So.
Yeah, I'm going to do exactly that.
I'm going to have to take Wednesday off.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Any... comments from the peanut gallery?
Oh, yeah. Any public comments or questions? Mr. Hoffman?
No. I really like the presentation. And I'm definitely interested to see how it's going. I wonder what your timeline is in presenting that to the PPP. And if there's anything that I can do to help there.
Appreciate that. We appreciate that. I think that we are trying to get ahead of September, because isn't September when the annual 2020...
The fiscal?
Yeah, you submit the first submissions in, I believe, September 10th.
Okay, cool.
So we're trying to get ahead of that.
So maybe in that 23rd, on the meeting on the 23rd, we...
We all come up with consensus.
But the process takes place over a month, so it's not like...
No, but if we get it in early and so people see that it's a part, it's not an afterthought. Yeah, great. All right, so motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. I'll bring it to you, Tom.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice to meet you.